One of the most significant men who helped found America was William Penn. The state of Pennsylvania is named in honor of his family name. Penn founded Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. He worked hard to create an atmosphere of religious tolerance under God. But these days, you can never be politically correct enough. The National Park Service was actually planning to tear down a statue of William Penn and replace it with Native American displays. This was in Welcome Park, a park in Philly that is named after the ship on which Penn sailed to America. Thankfully, pushback against this plan caused the left to relent. The statue is saved for now. Dr. Peter Loback, the founding president of Providence Forum, for which I have the privilege now to serve as the executive director as a part of Coral Ridge Ministries, speaks often about Penn's amazing accomplishments. And we welcome Dr. Loback back to the program. Peter, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Well, Dr. Newcomb, what an honor to be with you. Thanks so much.
Okay, so Welcome Park has a statue of William Penn about the same size as the one on top of the City Hall. It's got a timeline about his amazing life and accomplishments in the New World especially. And then it also has a reproduction of a home or house that he built on, and it's all named in honor of that ship. So why don't you wax eloquent about William Penn, and before you do that, just tell us, what was your initial reaction when you heard the news? Oh, they're going to tear that one down and, you know, get his name off these things.
Well, thanks, Jerry, for the privilege. One of the things that came to my mind as I heard the story, I said, wow, I wonder if it's not the statue they want to get rid of, but the pedestal that it stands on, because the pedestal has his extraordinary prayer that shows that he was a Christian theologian and that was literally one who was praying for the city. And I thought, one of the things the left doesn't like all that much is our Judeo-Christian heritage, not just the colonial leadership that helped to establish our nation. Now, I can't prove that that was a motivation, but it certainly came to mind. So my reaction was, well, it's par for the course. The left wants to erase everything of our past history. And in this case, they could get a twofer, if I can think of it that way. We can get rid of Penn in a small way and his home site, and we can also get rid of his prayer for the city. But at any rate, what we need to know about William Penn is that he was one of the most extraordinary human beings in history, because he was at the right place at the right time with the requisite knowledge to change history. So why do I say he was at the right place at the right time with the right knowledge? Well, number one, he was trained in an extraordinarily high level. One, he was from a noble, almost noble family. Admiral Penn, his father, was directly associated with the royal family as one of the leaders of the British Navy. He was therefore trained in a classical education, well-trained. And then beyond that, because of certain family realities, he was trained not only at Oxford, where he came in contact with great theologians like John Owen, one of the great Reformed theologians. He likely came in contact with also John Locke, one of the greatest political scientists of history, who's a Christian thinker. And then because of the Puritan reaction that was part of what created his being pushed out of the context of Oxford into France, his father thought he was too Puritan now that there was a return of the Anglican tradition under Charles II. He studied under Moses Amiro, a Reformed theologian. So he had international Reformed theology. He had Reformed theology there at Oxford. And beyond that, not only did he have that theological classical training, when he came back to London, he went to Lincoln Hall and got basically legal training. What an amazing combination of education. But then you take it a step further. He was struggling with the religious traditions. Obviously, the Catholics were fighting the Protestants in France. The Anglicans were fighting different religious traditions, even Protestants in England. And he heard a Quaker preacher, and this man's name was Thomas Lowe. Thomas Lowe, who was breaking the law by preaching outside of a church, breaking the law by preaching without a license from the king. He was a Quaker that were basically rejected by the Anglican Church. But Thomas Lowe was preaching this message. There's a faith that overcomes the world, and there's a faith that's overcome by the world. Which is yours? William Penn tells us that that spark of religious life that had been in his heart since childhood came to flame, and he said, I want that kind of a faith that overcomes the world. And did a radical thing. He decided he would follow the Quaker faith. Now, that got him kicked out of his family, got him in trouble with the religious leaders, and he ended up in the Tower of London. But what we see then is a highly educated man who had a faith that was so deep that he was willing to break his familial and cultural ties to follow what he believed the Bible required of him.
Pete, there are probably some listeners who are not necessarily familiar with the Tower of London. That would be the major prison. Weren't there beheadings or executions that would take place there and so forth? And some of the prisoners were there because of religious convictions. They were nonconformists.
That's exactly right. I think what we need to understand is that the Tower of London, you might think of as the upscale prison where someone might go who is from nobility and might end up being beheaded or at least taken out of society for a period of time. And so he was there on different occasions because he would break the law as a Quaker preacher. He would be preaching in the streets without a license. He would be preaching in a way that was against the Anglican tradition, calling on people to follow the homespun, humble religion of the Quakers. And that got him in trouble. But as an educated man, he used that time away to write and think. And he wrote a classic book there on the great case of conscience defended. And what he basically did is he said, you know, the golden rule of Jesus says we should do unto others what we would want done unto ourselves. He said, we need to apply that to the public square of our civilization, that we should have a country where we don't want to be put in jail for what we believe. Why would we jail others for their religious convictions? And so he conceived the idea of religious liberty grounded on the golden rule of Jesus. Well, that's what brings us to the right place, the right person at the right time. Because when he was freed from the Tower of London, being persecuted time and time again, his father, now almost dying, admires the courage of his son, including fighting to get juries to evaluate, is this law restricting free preaching solid? He is able to establish the right of jury. His father calls him home. And he says, you know what, I disagree with you, but I'm dying and I want you to be re-inherited in my family. I want you to be my heir. And so when Admiral Penn dies, the family has a very large debt that the king, the royal family, owes to him for all the work that he did in raising Navy leadership and fighting. And Penn, now, interestingly, a pacifist as a Quaker, gets the heir of Admiral Penn. And because there's the connection with the royal family from his childhood, being highly trained in classical education, and through Admiral Penn, who was someone who had connection with the royalty. In fact, he was the one that brought Charles II back on ship from his exile after Oliver Cromwell with the reestablishment of the monarchy after the English Civil War. He goes, young William Penn, now an adult, goes to the crown and says, you know, you all owe our family a large debt, and I would like to claim it, but I don't want money. Now, that's music to any king's ears.
Wait, let's be clear. Wait, help me to understand. Is this the father or the son saying this to the crown?
This is the son.
Okay.
The father has passed away. He's now the heir. And as the heir, he goes with his connections from childhood through his father's link. He goes to the royal family and he asks for payment of the debt. And it essentially amounts to this. I don't want money. I understand there's a lot of land on the other side of the Atlantic, 3,000 miles away, uninhabited. Would you just pay me in land and we'll call the debt square? All I would ask is that you let me write the laws of this new territory. I will not be disloyal. It'll be totally subject to the king, but I'll ask for the right to make the laws. In other words, a proprietary colony. He will be the one who established its long run. As a lawyer, as a leader, he's given a lot of thought to this, and lo and behold, The king acquiesces in that and says, yes, you may have that land as a payment. Now, and he's also given the right to write the charter. So what that basically does is it gives Penn the ability to establish his ideal society of religious liberty. And that is something that came to the conclusion in the king's mind, not only because it got him off the hook for a debt, but it gave him the opportunity to say, wow, maybe I can get rid of all these pesky Quakers that are giving me so much trouble.
And other nonconformists. We have about 4 minutes left just to kind of wrap this all up. And tell us about the park itself and why they wanted to tear down Penn's likeness and so forth.
Yes. Well, basically then, when Penn comes, his prayer is answered, and he says, I'm going to call my city Philadelphia after the city in the Bible, meaning brotherly love. He comes on the ship called Welcome. And so the place where he first lived in his city, Philadelphia, is where Welcome Park is today. That was on that park, then along the walls is the story of William Penn. On the flat level of that area are streets showing the planned city that he made for Philadelphia. In the center is his statue with his prayer for Philadelphia, city that he named and prayed for before it was born, a place where he said, may it be the seat of a nation. And lo and behold, it did become that on July 4, 1776, many years after he passed away. But the bottom line is that image of William Penn in that Welcome Park represented a city without walls, a city that did not need an army, a city that was established by making treaties with the Native Americans, the Aboriginals that were there, a peace treaty that held his entire life. In other words, William Penn was the least likely person that you would want to attack because he demonstrated for the Native Americans that we could get along. And that peace was established. It was a city of brotherly love. Other religious traditions came along where it became the city of religious liberty, and then the biggest city where our nation was developed, where the First Amendment itself was ultimately approved. And so I think as you look at that story, the desire to celebrate the Native Americans is a wonderful idea. But they could have done it easily by keeping Penn's statue there and saying, this is the man that established the peace with the original inhabitants of the land, and he's a way forward. No, they didn't want that. They wanted to get rid of his prayer. They wanted to get rid of his likeness, get rid of his story, and just talk about the Aboriginal tradition, which is the Marxist style of destroying a culture. Cut away its roots, and like a tree, it can easily be moved, is the theory behind it. Like cut flowers may be beautiful, but they will not live long. Let's cut off this story from its roots, and the American story will wither. That's the attack that's against all of our Judeo-Christian traditions, that our cultural leaders and political leaders that are imbibing the woke and Marxist ideology, they want to take away our history and rewrite it. What they could have done easily, and I hope they do it, is find some of the ramshackle territories in the old city of Philadelphia and rebuild it and put up a beautiful celebration of the Native American culture. It's totally appropriate. But William Penn is right in the middle of both, showing that historic Christianity, with its golden rule, is establishing a civilization that blessed non-Christians and Christians alike with the seed of a nation that has given Philadelphia the right of honor as the birthplace of America. It was the last place that our government leaders should have attacked, and thankfully they were unsuccessful, as you said, this time.
We have about 20 seconds left. You know, isn't it interesting to think about all those Pennsylvania Deutsch that came over? In other words, Dutch. That we know the word Pennsylvania Dutch, but it's really Pennsylvania Deutsch. In other words, they're Germans. So, in other words, what Penn did was he created this haven for religious nonconformists, including, you know, the Amish and the Mennonites and Presbyterians, all these different denominations. And we're out of time, but I thank you so much for sharing this. Providenceforum.org. Pete, thanks so much. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.